This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, what a day for the Jets and what a day for the Giants. And by that, I mean nothing. 702, Carlin, lightning round. Get on board now, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. We get to the calls very early. Tweet the show, as always, at Chris Carlin. You can also check it out on Instagram, That Guy Carlin. Where are the Jets? I don't think they're asleep at the wheel. I don't think they're getting anybody, though, that's helping their football team right now. And the biggest blow, there's a couple of them, really three to be exact, but the biggest blow is not getting an interior lineman, either of the top two guys who were available. And that is a major, major problem for the Jets. They had to get Joe Thuney or they had to get Corey Linsley, and they didn't. And now you look at the rest of what's available on the free agent market on the interior, and it is nothing to write home about. There is no part of them that has gotten better today in an area where they desperately needed to get better. Now, they still have a chance to get better when it comes to the pass rush, but frankly, what has transpired so far is not great. Shaquille Barrett went back to Tampa Bay, and you lost out on Yannick Ngakoue earlier today. Maybe there's still talk about somebody else like Bud Dupree or Carl Lawson or somebody like that. But right now, the way things are starting out, this is ugly. This is a bad day one. And I'm not going to overreact to it, but it's a bad day one. And it is happening at positions where they needed to have some positive developments in free agency. Look, this is not a team that is going to be built through free agency. We know this. But it is a team that has to be able to supplement some positions through free agency. Bringing in a veteran interior lineman is going to do nothing but help someone like Mekhi Becton continue to get better. And frankly, that's what needs to happen. It's just a bad day one. And when you look at all of that and the fact that this was one of the biggest areas of need, you could afford to go somewhere else and really understand that you were going to be able to not sign a receiver, but draft one and not blow a ton of money in that department. And that's not what you need to go and do now that you mailed or that you missed out on Thuney and you missed out on Linsley. You know, Thuney, I can understand to a degree. You know, maybe the Jets, I'm assuming that the Jets were right there in terms of the money, okay? I'm absolutely assuming that's the case. And if Thuney wanted to go play for the Kansas City Chiefs and win and get paid, who could blame him? Who could blame him? He was the number one offensive lineman that was available. But if Linsley, if you can't get Linsley to come to the Jets and he ends up with the San Diego Chargers, I mean, come on. And I see some of the tweets afterward that maybe the Jets weren't all that interested in him. And I'm sorry, I don't buy that. I think that's somebody that's at the top of the market where if you slide him in at center and you move McGovern over to guard, you're a better football team right away. You're a better football team right away. This is a bad start to free agency. It's a start. It's a bad start. And when you have all of that cap room, and we can talk about having all of that cap room, while you may not spend it all, and I'm fine with that, you have to address some areas. Supplement. Yes, and we know it's going to be built through the draft. We know it's not all going to happen tomorrow. But this was an opportunity. So whether you had to overpay a little bit to maybe try to convince Thuney to come, or even if he wasn't, you had to overpay to convince Linsley to come, then that's what you needed to do. It's not like this was Nate Solder, okay? This was not Nate Solder, where the Giants remarkably overpaid somebody who was the best at his position in an exceedingly weak market. So now you've missed out on two of the big free agents, okay? So what now? You know, it doesn't look like there are other great options inside at guard or at center that are available. It doesn't look like that. What it looks like to me is something similar to last year, which is what you don't want. And that is when you tried to get Jack Conklin, you didn't, and then you decided to spread it out and try to make it work at a couple of different positions to get better. You can like George Fant. You need a better interior offensive line to have George Fant at right tackle. Let's not waste time. Let's get to it. Justin and Toms River, start us off. Lightning round. Justin, this is a bad first day. There's no getting around it.
Oh, man. Carlin, you totally took my thunder, man. I'm a very disappointed Jet fan today. This team has suffered through a decade of just misery. And considering that Joe Douglas comes in there with the second amount of most cap money, this team was a JV team last year on the field. And they needed to come in today and say that this organization is going in the right direction. We needed an offensive line. We needed a pass rusher. We need a lot of things. But the fact that the Jets aren't being mentioned and Joe Douglas, in my opinion, not pulling the trigger, I would have overpaid for one of those two positions. I don't want a Bud Dupree coming off an ACL. I don't want them getting creative, like you say, with the Yankees and just pitch and patch. And I want a team that's going to put a good product on the field, and they're not doing that. And I don't want to overreact. It's the first day, but I'm very disappointed as a Jet fan. And that's not going to put fans in the seats, and that's not going to put excitement around this organization and go towards a better future.
Look, thanks for the call, and it's a good point. And look, it frustrates you because you know that money should be able to sell. Should be able to sell. The Jaguars are able to spend and get players to help them. Now, granted, are they getting superstars right away? No. The Jets got Gerard Davis at linebacker, and they're listening to calls on C.J. Mosley. I'll get to that one in a minute. Gerard Davis at linebacker, 1 year, $7 million. Woo! Come on. Buddha in the Bronx, have at it. Just go nuts. Go ahead.
Hate to say I told you so.
Well, it's but, one day. It's not over, but it's frustrating that you see two of these top-level players not available to the Jets, and they couldn't get something done.
Listen, it's more deep than that, Chris. Listen, you know, it started last year. Players around the league see the crockpot approach to the rebuild. You couldn't pay Robbie Anderson $10 million. You brought Bashaud Perriman in here for shorts. You know, he was horrible. All the free agents he got last year were pretty much horrible. Now you're setting up Caesar Salah the same way you did Sam Darnold. You go from 7-9 to 2-14. What person in their right mind who's in the middle of their career is going to say, you know what, this is the team I want to play for? Soon, Deshaun Watson is going to be on the Dolphins. And now Caesar Salah is going to come in. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback. We don't know what kind of offensive line they're going to have. Listen, it's enough now with this station of giving Joe Douglas a pass. It's enough. His way screwed us up again for a few more years.
Well, we don't know that no yet. Sense. That's not fair because all he could do in this instance was to position him the best he could, Buddha, thanks to the call, in terms of the cap, and to position him the best as he could in the draft. Now, he has done that. He has gotten all the cap room that he can, and he has gotten all the draft picks that he can. And he can still potentially get more. The problem is, he can't get anybody to take the money. They're not closing out right now. That's a major issue. That's a major issue. And on C.J. Mosley for a second, I get it. Some Jet fans would be happy to trade away C.J. Mosley. Two games. Two games you've seen him play. You saw him be lights out in the first half of the opener 2 years ago. And then he was hurt. And then he came back in week 7 against the Patriots in the disastrous seeing ghosts night, and he should have never been out there. And then this past year, opted out. Okay. So now what happens is they're going to talk about trading him away to get him off the cap. Okay, it would be nice to get rid of that monster contract, but considering the player that he was before that, wouldn't you want to see if he could still be that player? It's not like you have to do it from a cap standpoint. You don't. And you're not going to get much in return. What are you going to get, a fourth-round pick maybe? Maybe. There's no need. And it sounds strange. But considering you have gotten nothing from him, and this is going to be a year where you're not winning anyway, you may as well see if C.J. Mosley is going to fit, unless he is screaming and yelling behind the scenes to get out of there. And even if he is, he'd be dead wrong to do it, because you're the one who signed here, took all that money, and then you got hurt, and then you opted out. And I don't blame you for either one, but you should have something to prove here, shouldn't you? Back to the phones, Ray in Brooklyn. Ray, what's going on? You're next.
What's up, man? So I just wanted to say that I think the Jets are doing the smart thing by staying put this year. They've been spending money on players like Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, and it hasn't been panning out what they wanted to
be. That's 2 years ago now. Le'Veon is gone. C.J. has basically played almost an entire game of football for the Jets.
So I agree.
Yeah. So at some point, you have to see what he has, and you also need to get your team better. All right, this is going nowhere. Next, Anthony in Wayne, New Jersey. Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
How are you, bud?
It's kind of a random question, but I'm a Ravens fan, and I wanted to get your opinion. What kind of haul do you think the Ravens could get back for Orlando Brown?
I think they could get at least one first-round pick, if not more. I mean, they'll probably get more than that, but the problem is, like, if you're talking about with the Jets, they need to get he wants to play left tackle. That's the big issue, right? So
yeah, but I think he made the Pro Bowl as a left tackle this year, right?
No, he wants to play left tackle, period, and that's been his issue with the Ravens. So that's why they want to move on from him. I think you'd get more than a first-round pick. I think you'd do pretty well in return. Probably a first and, you know, maybe a second or a third.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Anthony. Matt in Maryland next, 98.7 ESPN. Matt, what's going on?
Listen, the Jets, they need to solve this line, if anything. And if they can get Orlando Brown, the 23rd pick, and a third or fourth, let it go. Get some position. And he's not even making no money right now. He's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I haven't really watched the guards and centers that's coming out of the draft. But man, they needed Tooney. Gosh, they needed Tooney, because that would have really fixed up the line. If they got Brown, Tooney, and Becton, they would have been ready to go. And you could even have a third round pick, another guard or a center with those three guys.
You needed to get either Tooney or Lindsley. That's what you needed to do. And you were unable to do that, and that's an absolute killer for them. Because there weren't a lot of other great options.
I just felt like if the difference was to make it pay $20 million more, to make it a 5-year $100 million, give it to them. Because this is the only, you got to fix this line. Or we're going to be back in square one next year. Again,
yeah, look, if Tooney wanted to go win, Matt, thanks for the call. If he wanted to go win and he was getting paid a boatload of money as it was, I don't know. First of all, they're not going to give him an extra $20 million guaranteed, but if they gave him an extra 5 or 6 or 7, would he have come to the Jets? I don't know the answer to that. I can't sit here and speculate that he would have done it, but what's frustrating is that you had this money to spend, and he does end up somewhere else. And I get it when it's Kansas City. When you lose Lindsey to go to the Chargers, I'm sorry. That's frustrating. Eli in Harlem is next. Eli, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? I just want to say a couple of things. I hope the Knicks win tonight. And what is the Giants going to do, man, to help Jones, man?
I don't know. And thanks for the call. I think, first of all, they will draft a receiver high. I would be very surprised if they will either draft a receiver high or an edge rusher high. And whoever they sign in free agency, whether it's Kenny Galladay or an edge rusher, I think they'll do the opposite in that first round. Leonard Floyd, who they were rumored to be in on, he went back to the Rams today on a $64 million deal. All right, the Knicks and Nets are coming up, but I have the unfortunate situation of sharing some incredibly sad news for our member of our ESPN family, and that's Keyshawn Johnson, who just a little while ago tweeted out that he was sharing the news about the passing of his beautiful daughter, Maya, his firstborn child. I'll read you the tweet. "It's with incredible sadness I have to share the news about the passing of my beautiful daughter, Maya, as my firstborn child. She has been the joy of my and her mother Shakiri's life. She came into our lives as we were both coming of age as adults, and she's been a constant beloved presence for both of us. We are heartbroken and devastated by her loss. Shakiri, Maya's siblings, our family, and me appreciate your thoughts and prayers at this difficult time. We also all appreciate your support and respect for our privacy as we move forward. Thank you all. God bless. Keyshawn Johnson." So just tonight, keep Key and his family, his other children and his wife in your thoughts on the tragic passing of their daughter, Maya Johnson.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.